mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden's plain. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Would you look with me at the Gospel according to St. Luke, Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 1, and we will parade and peruse the periphery of verse number 26 through verse number 35. I'm just going to use that as a foundation for my text, but I want to also make reference to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, tells a story of how Mary was visited by Gabriel, the angel, and how he said that all things are possible through God. Amen. When he sensed that the doubt that may could have arisen in her life, he spoke that word. And let's see here. If you have Luke chapter number 1 and you're looking at verse number 26, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Hallelujah. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Tell somebody, you don't have to know a man. You just need to know God. "And the angel answered unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. And your word and title and topic and thought for this Christmas message is the burden and the blessing of saying yes. The burden and the blessing of saying yes. Basically, because Mary said, you know, be it so unto me. If you read the stories, Matthew and Luke, they go together, the synopsis of the gospel, they go together. And she was saying yes to what God wanted to happen in her life. And we too should say yes, amen? But we need to know something, that there is a blessing and also a burden when you say yes. Amen. Bear with me. Y'all stay with me. The gospel according to Luke, again, it is a gospel that is written as a letter. It was originally a letter to Theophilus, who the physician or the doctor Luke, he sent this letter to him so that he would understand the things that happened in the time of Jesus. He wanted to make sure that they understood, or that that he understood the gospel in its entirety. He wanted him to know that Jesus was born not of a man, but he was born the Son of God. Amen. Be it known also that Luke wrote to many people who were Gentiles because they had not even heard of such a thing. So Luke says, let me write into where the Gentiles could understand the word of God. Amen. So here it is. We find that in this gospel, we find that there is a young girl by the name of Mary. Some say she was probably between the ages of 13 and 16. And she is visited by this angel by the name of Gabriel. Gabriel is a messenger of God. He is one angel that if he visits you, he come to give you some type of message. And so here it is that Gabriel brings a message, and Mary is thinking in her mind, what manner of salutation? Because if I'm seeing this, am I about to go on to the other side or what? You know, what's about to happen in my life? Because I've never seen the angel before, but he come to give me some type of word. Amen. And so the angel comes to her, and the first thing the angel says is that she was blessed and highly favored. Isn't that something, how when God speaks to you, he don't speak like some people do to you? When they speak to you, the first thing they tell you is, what's wrong with you? Come on and say amen here. And he don't speak like some folks when they say, the Lord told me to tell you something, and it's something negative. And somehow God always seems to lift you up first before he lets you know what's really going on. Amen here. He wants you to see what's wrong with you first. He don't have to tell you what's wrong because you already know. I guarantee you that it ain't a person in here that don't know what's wrong with them. Amen. You know what's wrong. You want to ignore what's wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. So, but Mary, here it was. The angel spoke to her and said, Mary, you have been chosen. You're highly favored of God. You're blessed among women. And she was barely a woman, but he was speaking to her and said she was blessed among women. Isn't that something, how God chooses somebody? And I don't know why God does what he do, but you know what? He is sovereign. And he can do whatever he wants to do. We wonder how come somebody else is blessed and we are not blessed as they are. Well, you know what? We can't question why God does what he do. And we just need to know that God is sovereign. We can't be jealous or angry because God uses somebody else in a certain time point in their life. We need to know that if God can use them, God could also use me. If we just take the attitude, if God blessed them, then I know God can bless me. Amen. If we would take the attitude, if God is blessing my neighbor, at least he's in the neighborhood. If I just do the right thing, maybe he will stop by my house. Y'all with me this morning? It's still morning. Amen. And so he tells her, he says, God, he's blessed you among women. And he says, he tells her that God wants to use you. God wants you to have this baby. And she's saying, how can this thing be when I don't even know a man? You see, it's wonderful when God can bring blessings to your life and don't have to use a man to do it. When God wants to use you, he don't intend for you to go find somebody to help you to be used by God. God says, just get in my presence and let the Holy Ghost overshadow you so I can use you the way I want to, because sometimes we connect with people who are going to tell us how they think God ought to work in our life. We can't afford to let other folks tell us how God is going to work in our life. God will send us the message. Do you think God need help being God? He can be God, and he is God all by himself. He don't need people to help him. And so without a man's help, God did something in Mary. See, when you're chosen, God will do something in your life even when people are not there. Y'all with me today? I hope you're encouraged by that. You don't have to have people around you all the time to be blessed. You just need to be in the presence of God. He said in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Amen. And so he tells her what's going to happen, and she's wondering, how is this going to happen? And he assures her, and he said, the thing that you're going to have is of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just telling you the story because we're going to see what God is saying to us in just a few minutes. But he said this thing is of the Holy Ghost. He said, and just to confirm it, don't you know God will confirm things that he said? He said, just to confirm it, you need to know that your old cousin over there, Elizabeth, who didn't have no children, couldn't have no children, I'm doing something in her life too, just to confirm it. So if you want to believe, go see. She's already pregnant. God will not tell you something and not confirm it. The reason he confirms it is to give you faith. It's to make sure that your faith is solid. The Bible says faith come by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. But we hear so many other things, we can't hear the word of God. We hear how bad it is, how it might not work. We keep hearing the devil in our head, in our mind, on our shoulder telling us, oh, it ain't gonna work. You just might as well give up. Might as well throw in the towel. They talking about you. Look at this and look at that. And you know what? We got to silence the mouth of the devil. You got to silence. You got to silence 3 mouths. You got to silence the people around you because they sometimes negative. You got to silence your own voice on the inside that hardly believes anything because you're fleshly. Come on and say amen. And then you have to silence the voice of the enemy because he's always going to say something opposite of what God wants for your life. So guess what? If the devil tells you you can't, you tell the devil, I must be able to do it because I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me because you said I can't. When the devil tells you you sick, you need to say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I know you're a liar, and he's lying to you about what you're dealing with. He's lying to you about your abilities. He's lying to you about your children. So everything he tells you are, you need to say, I'm not. That's why God tells us to say, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Y'all with me? So you got to say the opposite of what the devil wants in your life. He says, you're a failure. You say, no, I'm able. Because God has enabled me. He gives me more grace. More grace, the word more grace, it actually means enabling power. He enables me. He tells you, you ain't gonna make it through that. Guess what? God said that his grace is sufficient for us, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. But there's a blessing and a burden to saying yes. Let me tell you how. So first off, and let me finish telling the story. Joseph is espoused to Mary, and they haven't gotten married yet and consummated their marriage, but he's intending to take her in his house and have her as a wife. But then he finds out that she's pregnant. And he decides, because he's a good man, that I'm not going to put her away by killing her like the law says I could do. I'm just going to let her go privately. Even though he believed that she committed a sin against him by going to another man. But all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost intervenes in something like how God, it ain't nothing like how God will intervene in a situation when you know that things are just about to go bad and God just steps in right on time. He steps in and gives Joseph a dream because he know that Joseph in his mind, listen to this, Joseph in his mind, he's wondering and pondering. And he says, so I know I got to make sure he's still when I talk to him. Because what happens when God speaks to us in our mind or in our heart, we'll talk ourselves right out of what God said. Because of what we feel. Because of our emotions getting in the way. And so he let him go to sleep when he was still. Then God showed him in the dream, said, look, the thing, go ahead and marry her, because that thing that is inside of her is of God. Now, this is something how Joseph believed on what God said, because it ain't happened ever before in the beginning of time to the end that a woman got pregnant without a man. But Joseph had to have some kind of faith. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Anyway, he decided to go ahead and marry her anyway, because he was going to put her away privately, but he married her anyway. And then so after that, she got bigger, and then she got to a place where she had Jesus, and he was born, and we know the story. So we know the story now. Let's go back up, and let's talk about what God wants us to see in the text. So we find out that Mary now, she is pregnant. And so the burden of all of this whole thing, check this out, is that people kept time on when she got pregnant. Y'all, you know, people ain't just start getting nosy today. We got it from somewhere. They didn't just start gossiping today. It came from somewhere. And so Mary's burden was she was accused of being with someone else. While she was espoused or engaged to Joseph, she was accused of being with someone else. Now, seems as though God put her in this situation, right? But she not only was accused, but they begin to gossip about her in the community. And let me show you how wise God is. God sent her away from people that might be talking to her about it and sent her to go live with Elizabeth. Isn't that something? How sometimes you need to just close your ears to folks that ain't got nothing good to say. Even God knew that he needed to get Mary out of the, he needed to get her out the neighborhood, because the people in the neighborhood, it's a small village. They're going to talk about her. They know they done timed her and seen that she wasn't married at the time, but she got pregnant before. Oh, yeah, that's, there she goes. She's walking in the grocery store, and on aisle 13, meet me on aisle 14. Let me tell you what happened. You know how it is. And so she got accused. They gossiped about her. Folks doubted that God had done what she said God was doing in her life. Do you know that I don't care what God tell you to do, there will always be doubters that will say God didn't tell them to do that. God, that ain't God. I know what God will do. And they think they have a monopoly on God. They think they're a doctor when it comes to the things of God, and they know how God is going to move, what God is going to do. Nobody knows what God is going to do. He said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heaven is from you, from the earth is my ways from your ways. Come on and say amen here. But the best we can do is have the mind of Christ. That's the best we can do. And so somebody got to understand today that even in the time when you say yes to God's will, there's still a burden in saying yes. You have to understand that you have the burden of Mary being accused. She'd been gossiped about. She had people doubting that God had ever spoke to her, that an angel even came to her. They start saying that she's trying to hide something and wonder who it is. I guess it was old Elroy over there, that when he came through, the one that was cleaning up the yard, that was him when Joseph went to work or something. You know, they had all kind of stuff that was going on. And they gossiped about Mary, but today we still talk about Mary. Talk about how highly favored she is. We still talk about Mary, how good she was. Amen. Come on and shout glory here. And so the people gossip about her then, but look at the glory that she walks in now. Come on and say hallelujah. And all I'm saying is that let them talk now, because you don't know what God is going to do later. You'll be praised later for your obedience. They may talk about your obedience now, but you'll be praised later for things that you obeyed God to do. She had a burden. She said yes and knew that she could be subject to be put to death. But she trusted God. Because the law said that she could be put to death for going out on her espoused husband. I wish I had somebody here. She had a burden. She had something to think about. That if I start showing, Lord have mercy, then I could be put to death. Then it says that she, the other thing was that she would lose her husband, the person that loved her, the person, the only one that would, you know, that's going to take her in. Because in that day, if you're a woman, you need to go ahead and get married, because if you don't nobody want to take care of you. And they didn't have no government assistance. I wish I had somebody. You had to work. You had to do something. And so she was about to lose the one person that was going to provide for her the rest of her life. Y'all with me? But look, not only did she have a burden, but look at the blessing here. The Bible says that she was highly favored of God. The Bible says that not only that, but she was able to receive a word from God. How many of us can say that we get a word from the Lord on a regular basis, that God speaks to us constantly, that he helps us through whatever situation we're going into? And you know, when you're favored of God, when you have the blessings of God on your life and he begins to speak to you, you realize that you are chosen. Come on and say amen. And she was chosen by God. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. We are chosen by God to show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. But not only that, but she was chosen to bring the word, the Savior, into the world. And I don't know about you, but that is a blessing in itself, to know that you're the only one that's going to be able to carry what you got. You're the only one that's going to be able to do what God has called you to do. That ought to bring you to a place of praise and worship. That ought to bring you to a place of appreciation. Let me tell you something. That's why God has made us as unique as we are. We don't have the same fingerprints. We don't have the same irises or pupils. We got some differences, amen. We may look alike, but you can tell there's a difference by something that God has done in us. And the reason he made us different is because we all bring something different to this world. And you are unique and have a purpose. And God wants you to walk in your unique purpose. He doesn't want you to be a carbon copy or a copycat of anybody. He wants you to be unique and be able to bring whatever uniqueness you have to somebody, because what you're carrying, ain't nobody else got it. The personality you have, don't nobody else have it. The word that you might speak at the time that you speak it, don't nobody else have it. God has a certain amount of people that you got to influence in their life, and guess what? Can't nobody else do it but you. So it's time for you to say within yourself, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm chosen to carry this word. I'm chosen to be obedient. I'm chosen to encourage. I'm chosen to help. I'm not your average Joe. I may look like it, but today I got a word on the inside of me. Mary looked like your average 13-year-old girl, but because of what was inside of her made her different. You may look average, but because of what's on the inside of you, it makes you different. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do you know you got the Holy Ghost on the inside? And so therefore, you're different than anybody else. The blessing was that she heard a word and had a word. That she was filled with joy when she received the word. You see, even though she had burdens, she was still joyful at the word of God. I don't care what it looks like and how tough it looks like it's going to be. You ought to look at it and say, in spite of how tough it might be, God, I have joy. I can make it because I have joy. I can endure hardness as a good soldier because I have joy. I wish I had somebody. Jesus said that it's important for us to have joy. The joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. Come on and say amen here. And Jesus said, I give you my joy so that your joy might remain, that your joy might be what? Full, and that it might remain. And the reason why you got to have joy is so that you'll be able to be strong enough to endure hardness, so that you'll be able to be strong enough to go through whatever. Whatever it is, if I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I got the word with me, so I receive it with joy and say, even though I've been through a lot, after all I've been through, I still have joy. I've been talked about, but I got joy. I've been lied on, but I got, y'all don't hear me today. I got joy, and the joy that I have, this world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I have joy. She received it with joy. I ask the question today, how are you receiving the word? Are you receiving it with joy? Are you deflecting it? Are you saying, no, I can't. I don't know why you're talking. You know, we can't, you know, We can't get to a place to where we start getting offended because, you know, he talking about me. Why he said that? We need to receive it with joy. If it's a whooping, take it. It's a good whooping. Come on and say amen here. I never forget, I heard a preacher say, you know, yeah, who he talking about? He must be talking, trying to say, throwing at me. If he is, then you need to get with it. It don't matter who, if the shoe fit, amen, walk in it. But she was filled with joy. So whenever she knew that she was going to encounter the possibility of losing her husband, the possibility of being stoned and killed, the possibility of the community gossiping about her, people talking about her, she said, you know what? I know all of that's going to happen, but I got joy because I got the word. We have a word from God. And listen to this. The angel didn't return to her and try to keep telling her, Mary, it's going to be all right. No. She had one word, one visitation in 9 months and one confirmation. And she had joy enough that it carried her through. But we got to keep patting people on the back. It's going to be all right. If he said it one time, that's enough. Y'all don't hear me. If he said it one time, we ought to be glad and say, you know what? I'm holding on to what God said. I don't care what they say. I know what he said. Oh, my God. All right, now I'm going to get to Joseph and I'm going to get out of here because I think I'm boring y'all. I know it's a different message, but it's all right. Receive it with joy. Tell somebody, receive it with joy. When it comes to the things that make a decision in your life, notice Joseph was at a place in his life he was about to make a decision, a grand decision. But, you know, when it comes to Jesus, there's always a decision that needs to be made. When it comes to Jesus, either you got to make a decision to make him your Lord and Savior or not. You got to make a decision to obey him or not. Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. You got to make a decision to receive or not. Amen. You got to make a decision to do all the things that he said. So when it comes to Jesus, you got to make a decision. And when it comes to living, you have to make a decision to be like Jesus or not. I wish I had somebody. And so here it comes. Jesus is already bringing some hard decisions for people to make. Joseph had to make a hard decision. Sometimes you got to make a decision on whether or not to keep those friends or to just let them go. You got to make a decision or not to let some people out of your life or hold on to them. I wish I had somebody. You got to make some decisions. And here was Joseph about to make a decision whether to let Mary go or not because of what had happened. And because Jesus came into her life, it make other folks make a decision. Y'all ain't with me. Y'all see this? Because Jesus came in her life, it made him have to make a decision. Y'all not with me. I don't believe y'all with me here. So if Jesus comes in your life, it puts people in a situation to where they got to make a decision. Either I'm going to be with you or I'm not. I wish I had somebody here. Or maybe you're the other person. Maybe Jesus came in somebody else's life and now you have to make a decision whether you want to stay with him or you don't. Come on and say, man. Joseph had a burden and his burden was a little lighter in a way because he wasn't going to have to do anything but make order to have her put away. But then he says to Joseph, and the thing about it, he was engaged to a woman that was pregnant for somebody or someone else. Amen? And she was telling him that this is immaculate conception. This is not of any man, but this is of God. And he had to believe that. Do you understand what's happening here? What man in their right mind today, if somebody came up and said that in these days that we live in, that they were pregnant, but it was from God, and they ain't never been with a man. You know, we'd be laughing and talking about them all over the place. We've been putting on Facebook and Twitter, trying to throw a little shade at them, saying stuff. Well, you know, we would have done that. You know, come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. We would have been talking about that. We've been preaching about it. Ain't no more immaculate conceptions. It ain't been but one. We'd have been all over the country talking about this. But guess what? Joseph had this thing in his mind, and it had to weigh heavy heavily on him. He had to make a decision. So guess what Joseph decides? Because he was a good man, Joseph says, I'm not going to destroy her life, but what I'm going to do is just put her away privately. I'm not going to let anybody know that I'm going to let her escape this here wrath that she's supposed to get, but I'm just going to put her away. So Joseph had a burden of doing these things, but then Joseph also had a blessing, because not only did God speak to